Hey, y'all, my name's Frenchy, and this is Uncommon. Hello, my name's Frenchy. This is Uncommon. Just a few different inflections. Pick your favourite.
Uncommon is a production focused on the why of business, media, and marketing. It's made by my team at Neural, a digital agency for challenger brands and talent. To learn more, just visit neural.com. That's N-E-U-R-A-L-L-E.com.
Guest this week, Benjamin French.
Don't use my slave name, please. Do not use my slave name. I'll walk out of this motherfucker.
So we got Frenchie, comedian, actor, Gladys's new boyfriend and the oldest man in comedy, apparently.
Yeah.
Can you explain that story? Like, why do Luke and Lewis consistently go on about that?
The meme.
Like, you're 34, they, man. Like, you're not 50.
Because on the internet, if you're over 30, you're the oldest person on the internet. Like, as soon as you're over 30, you're fucking ancient. You're done. You're a boomer. Okay. And I feel that a lot. And and once I embraced it, I still don't embrace my full, like, oldness. Sometimes I'll sneak into, like, you know, schoolies and stuff. But I am the oldest man on the internet. Yeah. There is. Me and H3. Just hanging out.
Yeah.
Doing things.
The other thing I have to touch on is this whole, because you told me this story ages ago, the Sanger attack. Can you explain what a Sanger is?
Most annoying part of my career is having my YouTube channel called Sanger Attack. It actually was just Sanger Attack, and then I changed it to Frenchy Sanger Attack. Don't know why. But a Sanger is a Brazilian Speedos.
Yep. Why are they called a Sanger? Do you know? Is it just
I do not know. My Portuguese is pretty good. I didn't get to the level of why is this word, this word. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
I was more like, oi, tudo bem, which means how you going? Você muito bonita, which is you're very beautiful. Chupa meu pau, which means suck my dick.
I just know all the Portuguese.
Tom's here, everyone.
He's the authority of truth. So does he legit know Brazilian or is he talking shit?
No, he actually does know a bit of Brazilian.
Okay.
A little Brazilian Portuguese. My mate from high school is from Sao Paulo. He's like, come on exchange for a year. He's like this crazy Brazilian dude called Marcelo Castillo. Hilarious. Comes over this fresh Brazilian vibe, like, we're from Wollongong, we were not ready for him. He's like kissing all the girls at high school, surfing like for 8 hours and then just getting his dick out. He was a fucking vibe. he calls it the black snake. It was so funny.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he was so funny. So I went and visited him and I was living with his family, so I tried to learn Portuguese as best I could. So I got a few words.
Marcelo, where in Brazil?
Sao Paulo. Which is like the main city. It's got like 26 million people in it. It's fucking hectic. It's a city.
Yeah,
like, it's not like Brazil, like Rio. It's like,
Rio's not really Brazil though, hey. It's not a true representation of Brazil.
It is, but it's also like postcard Brazil. Like,
yeah.
Brazil's like a country. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a Canberra of Brazil. Brasilia, the capital, is legit like Canberra. It's a planned city because I didn't know whether Sao Paulo or Rio should be the capital, so they made Brasilia. It's in the middle of nowhere. It fucking sucks.
But it's design-wise amazing. It's like the most futuristic city ever.
Architects froth on it, yeah. When I went there, I was with some lads and one of them was like in the architecture. She's like, oh, look at this is planned. Look at the roads, bro. Like Canberra.
Yeah, it's like the most art deco city in the world or something like that just because of when it was built. But it is bizarre. When you look at it on a map, it's like Rio, Sao Paulo, clearly the big cities, and then Brasilia just up here.
In the middle of nowhere.
It's closer to the, what's the the forest up there?
Ask the question.
Amazon. That's it.
Too late, guys. You don't win.
No points for Gryffindor. It's closer to Rio, which is weird, like when you think about it, because those are the two most popular cities. Let's go back to Wollongong.
Yeah, bah.
What is the earliest memory of your life?
I've got a shocking memory. I always think that. Like, people tell me things I've done and I'm like, I have no recollection of that. So, earliest memory of life. And that's the thing with your earliest memory. Do you actually remember it or has someone just told you you've done it so you think you did it? Because, like, people told me I ate cat food. My parents told me I ate cat food when I was young. I was like, I don't remember it, but maybe I do remember it.
Maybe
I'm sure I would have.
Do you have a vivid memory though? Like as an example, the first thing I can remember, first like inception memory, was at kindergarten we had like, you know, the shapes that you put in Play-Doh.
No, I don't remember kindergarten.
So like you'd put shapes in Play-Doh and you'd cut out, you'd make shapes of Play-Doh and I don't know, that's what you did. But at home, my parents had just gotten like cement paved on the side of the house, like on an angle. And I don't know why, but there was a bits of wood, but they were like shapes. To me as a kid, they looked like triangles and squares and stuff. So I took them all and made shapes in the cement. So the whole of the cement was like ruined with like all these shapes. And I just remember getting the belting of my life. No. Like, my mom was furious.
Wooden spoon, belt, or just hand?
No, just hand. But at that age, it was like quite frightening. Oh, yeah. No, me and my brother used to split. Like we had a competition on who could get the wooden spoon broken. We had like a technique and everything.
My brother got it broken on him.
Yeah.
And then my parents deny it happened. They're like, no, it didn't happen.
But
like,
there was a trick to get. No, we would.
So what's the trick?
So you would put your wrist or your arm in and it would break the spoon.
Or you would like go karate chop at it. Like so they're like, hold out your hand and they start going, yeah.
They'd be like trying to smack you and you'd be like, like this. Like
they're going up the bomb, up the bum.
Yeah.
Not up the bum, on the bum.
up the bum.
Awkward. You said it, bro.
Hey, it happened. My dad, I guarantee you, a week or two from now, my dad will be listening to this. He'll call me like, that never happened.
Did you ever get the break? Did you get the break of the spoon or you're just trying it?
I'm pretty sure there was a few broken for sure.
Yeah, that's good.
I just remember in the drawer there was like the spoons and half of them were like split down the middle. So like my mum had still kept them to use in like cooking and stuff, which is hilarious.
They went, did you get bare butt or you just got on the pants?
No, just on the pants.
Yeah, so did we. And then it stopped hurting and then they went hand and then hand hurt a bit more.
Yeah.
I always wish it'd be cool if like, you know, like one of those badass little kids and like they get hit in the wooden spoon, like didn't even hurt and they go high, like you call that a smack and they just fucking keep going.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, eventually they win and their parent ties down. It's like, you win. You're the dad now. That's how you become the head of the household. You withstand 100 wooden spoon slaps.
You get to an age where, like, it doesn't work. And I feel like your parents conceive that, like, you can't just rationalize based on violence. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. So I feel like that was my parents. Like, I remember my mum switched from the spoon. Then they, like you said, they tried the hand. But then one time she like washed our mouth out with soap. I think she felt a bit bad about it.
Yeah.
She never did it again.
I got that one.
Or like it was mustard. She made us eat mustard, like hot mustard, like a hot English mustard.
It's one of those hard ones because there's that balance between how do you proper discipline a kid?
Yeah.
Is it physical pain? I think there needs to be a threat of it.
I think the overarching threat helps, but like it's only to... and. I don't know if it works as well as we think it does.
I'm not saying you have to smack them, but I'm saying if you grab them hard and drag them to their room, then they know you're the boss. Throw them in there, lock the door.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
The thing that I lock the door.
And just leave them for a couple of days.
Dude, that's literally what my parents would do.
Thank you. That's a good strategy. And you're a very accomplished guy. Look at you. You got your own studio and office.
But you know what it did? It just made me more combative with my parents. Like I became more of a smart ass. I think my parents needed to realize it was in my mum doesn't agree, but she is a naturally like she has good quips. Like she loves like a smart ass comment, but then they call me a smart ass, right? Mm. I'm always the smart ass in the family. I think they needed to realize like that was part of my personality and go along with it.
And
just like my uncle was a good example. He had a very stern. His way was like to be really stern with you.
Mm.
So I don't know. I feel like that was more effective.
I feel like you always got a scary uncle. I'd one I was scared of.
Yeah.
Like because he just yelled once one Christmas and the whole time next.
It's
like,
just everyone.
For the next 5 years, we're all scared of him. Yeah. Like, and he was like a big dude.
So,
right here, boys, it's doing. Don't play cricket in the window. It's like, fuck, he's going to bash us.
See, my uncle was cool and his thing was like, I'm very disappointed in you. I was like, it killed you on the inside.
Nah, I don't care if my uncle says that. I'm like, fuck, I've never seen
that. We all looked up to him.
Be disappointed. Go home. See ya. Parents are taking me home.
Bye. Bye. So do you have any vivid memory from your childhood like that?
It's I'm sure I do. Like I do. Yo, I've got one bad one. Like I actually do. I think I remember it. In kindergarten, I know me and my two best friends from kindergarten may have flashed some girls from the same year. I know, and then I say may, but we did. Because I know, because I remember because we got in so much trouble, obviously. We didn't really know what we're doing. We're just pulling our pants down, doing a little willy-willy. And we went to the principals. They're like, they tried to explain why you can't flash girls. And so I learned from a young age.
And you, so you were like kindergarten age?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Nothing much to flash there. Like, I don't know why we did. It was just, yeah. You know, you're just exploring things. You're trying things, seeing what works.
I feel like that's a great reflection of your style of comedy, just dumb humor.
You're not really thinking about it. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So, okay, where did you go to school? Like, where did you graduate from high school?
In Wollongong.
What was the school called? Like, Wollongong High?
So, it's annoying because I went to, like, a Wollongong, I'd say private school, but it's a Wollongong private school. So it's not like Sydney.
Yeah.
But it's bad for my rep.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? So when I was teaching back there, they're like, what school did you go to, sir? I'm like, Hogwarts. Because I'll be teaching like the ghetto schools in Wollongong. Yeah, they're right. Like, what school? I'm like, oh. And then one time I said like Blacktown High. And they're like, my cousin's from Blacktown. Did you know him? I'm like, yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah, man. Well, I got half a scholarship to it.
Okay.
From academia.
For what? Academia.
Yeah, smacked the test in year six, piece of piss. So I used to be smart.
It's so funny that, like, I remember my brother got, it was the only reason I went to a private school. Yeah. My brother got a scholarship and it made it affordable.
Well, that's why I went there, because my brother got a full one. I think he got a full one. And so I went and they wanted me to go to the same school as my brother. And my brother's legit smart. Like, he's got real brains. And so I sort of tagged on that. They're like, but they also didn't really like him at that school. He got suspended for a term.
Really?
Old term. They should have just expelled him. But he used to, because they thought he would just leave and join a different school. Then after a term, he came back.
Why did they suspend him?
It was a bunch of little things that blew up. But the big one was, yeah, it wasn't, in retrospect, it wasn't a smart move. They're on like a table outside, like one of those sort of long wooden picnic tables sort of vibes.
Yeah.
Was at the school, and they made a fire on it.
Oh my God.
And then he threw a cigarette lighter in it and it exploded. Like, it was like, boom. It was like, I don't know. It wasn't that bad. It's just a fire at a school. Grow up.
Weren't we all like pyrotechnics?
Yeah, fire's fucking cool, bro. Yeah.
I remember with friends like my mate Tyrone, we still catch up with him to this day in Sydney, him and his now fiance. And we would do dumb shit. Like our neighbors, let's say we found like a washing machine on the, you know how people like put out trash on the on the path for like the big collection? We'd like, there'd be like a washing machine. And so the neighbors were like 10 years older and they're like really into engineering. So they just get it and we just like do all sorts of shit with it. And then at the end, we just like throw a brick in it.
Just throw a brick in it.
Yeah, just to see what happened. And then, we'd light, like, I remember me and Tyrone, we got in so much trouble. Tyrone, by the way.
Yeah,
such a good
Tyrone.
Name. We would just light shit on the footpath and like create little bonfires on the footpath.
Oh, yeah, that's proper. Just random juvenile delinquent behavior. I was thinking of a good prank when you were saying that. How's this for a prank? Sneak into someone's house, do their washing. Like hanging out and shit, fold it and then sneak out. And then like if they're with their partner or something, they're like, oh, thanks for doing the washing. It's like, I didn't do it. You must have done it. And they're like, no, I didn't do it. And then they're both going to think someone's lying because who would sneak in and just randomly do their washing?
Yeah. This is what I mean by dumb humor. Just like you make things like you can make anything from like I wrote here in my notes.
Dumb humor. Yeah.
You can make anything funny from farts in a jar to like naming Omicron Omnidong. Like
just Omnidong. Well, that's what like Luke, we're hanging out with Luke Kidgel last night.
Yeah.
And he's like, he gets me. Do you know what I mean? Like, because I'm rolling in there. What shirt was I wearing? My Little Pony t-shirt with like a big like sort of silver cross bling and you know, Pokemon jacket, and he's like, see, you're like a walking meme, you know what I mean? But yeah, some people just see the mullet and the speed deals, and they're like, oh, you're just a full-on fucking legend. I'm like, No, I'm a complicated human. I like My Little Pony too.
You know, I admit, when I first found you on the internet, your humor went right over my head, but I feel like I got it when I saw you did that Beta Bros or Beta... Remember the Blade Life thing?
Oh. Luke?
And you made like a song about it. And I'm like, I still play this song.
Blade Life. That is so funny. Yeah. See, that's those niche ones that they polarize people, those sort of ones. Yeah. Where like the ones that go like viral, be like, oh, that's easy, accessible. Shoeies, we're like that. Yeah. Whereas like some people are like, nah, I only like your rollerblading content.
But see, I think people haters see gonna it hate, initially.
Bladers gonna blade.
Yeah. No, but I think they see it initially and they think like you're taking it seriously. Like it's a serious thing. But it's like almost it's like there's something meta about it. Like you're making something so innocuous seem ridiculous.
It's a hard balance because like that's kind of what sort of fucks me in my YouTube channel is that I do too much different shit. I'll do this random rollerblading video. And then I'll do just like sort of sex skits. It was like, and people who like these don't want this fucking meta sort of meme rollerblading shit. They're like, no, get you and the actress back together. Like, do those funny like ones that we like.
This is Demetra.
Everybody
thinks is your girlfriend.
Yeah, get your girlfriend back in. Do those funny ones that we know the style. We know what we're gonna get. And we like them. Not this fucking music shit. Don't do your rollerblading ones. Do you know what I mean? Don't do anything different. People only want one thing from a YouTube channel. They want the exact same type of videos.
Repeated.
Like your vlogs. It's David Dobrik, Logan Paul, the exact same fucking vlog.
I don't think you get longevity from that though.
Oh, you do. Well, you get a lot of money and you get lots of subs.
I get that, but I don't know that like those people come and go, you know what I mean? Because there's a style that can come and go.
Mm.
So if you're like, I would say David Dobrik largely is irrelevant now in terms of vlogging.
No, well, he's just started dropping the big ones again because he's got a show.
But I've stopped watching it. I used to be, you can ask Lauren, she was like, I don't know why you're obsessed with this, but I would watch it religiously.
Such good editing. It was the such editing was good amazing. Editing. He was such a good editor. Like, yeah. So he would have, like, I guess, what'd he do? Two vlogs a week? What'd he do?
Published Tuesday, Thursday, Aussie time.
So he would have...
No, he was doing three a week at one point.
Three full days of filming, cutting it down to 4 minutes with like hot people in LA doing the funnest shit with the most money. Like, and he just nailed it. Like the music is so good. Like he's in my mind because I literally just watched his last video because he's got his show David Dobrik Travels or whatever it's called.
Right.
Do you know what that's called, Tom?
It's just like a travel show, yeah, one of the networks.
Yeah, they just went to Africa and stuff. I'm like, yeah. And so he did a vlog on his channel for that too. Wow. Yeah, did a safari and stuff. But it's like crazy how much they must cut out because it's so hard cutting content. Like even from my skits, I'm like, no, that's a good joke. That's got to stay in there. And my skits are longer than his vlogs, man.
Yeah. No, it must be really, really hard. It's hard for me to like still watch his stuff because there was that whole period of
where he got canceled.
H3, yeah, where he got canceled. But then H3's doing my head in because now he's going after Jordan Peterson.
H3's a bitch, bro. I loved him at the start. He was
now
funny.
Now he's a fucking
asshole. Now he's like, who can I try to cancel? Like what sort of conflict can I get in, put my nose in from nowhere? Like he's just come after Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan, yeah.
Like.
Yeah, it was bizarre. And I remember there was a period of time where everyone was like, you've got to get H3 on the JRE podcast. And it makes me wonder whether he went after him because he never got him on that JRE podcast.
That's probably it, bro.
I don't know. Lauren was just telling me about this morning. We were looking on Twitter. I'm like,
he just whinges all the time.
It's just very pandery. It's very, I don't know. He's gone very
done.
Woke.
Yeah, he's done. I hate him. Yeah. I hate him. He's up there with Jimmy Fallon for me now.
Oh, yeah.
People I don't like.
I think the moment was when he had Bill Burr on his podcast and first episode, it was shocking. Bill Burr's was like,
cringe.
Like just saying things like, shouldn't you know this? Like, or like, what do you mean? Yo. I'm like your guest, of course. Like just really awkward scenario.
Bill Burr does not hold back, bro.
Yeah, he doesn't tolerate dickheads.
Bro, I had this one interview for like it was a newspaper article in Tasmania. I was doing a show in Hobart and the PR was like, you do this interview. I'm like, okay, cool. They ring me up. He's like, hey, so I'm going to interview you about your upcoming show. And then he knew nothing about me. He's like, so what do you do?
Oh, my God.
And I go, comedy? He's like, oh, yeah, cool, cool, cool. Coming down to do some comedy. What sort of comedy do you do? Like, I used to make skits and like stand up, like just sort of fun stuff. He's like, oh, yeah, cool. I'm not really that into your stuff. I'm going to be honest. Like, someone from like I work with said you're kind of good, but like, I wasn't for me. Like, literally told me that mid interview. It's like, anyway, what are your influences? You can tell me that. I'm like, bro, is this a real interview? He's like an older dude too. He was like 50. I'm like, you shouldn't be this fucking unprofessional.
How long ago was it?
2016.
Yeah. See, that's the thing.
And I was still being nice back then. So I was like,
this is the issue with the age of just back on H3, the age of the internet and how cheap it is to produce things nowadays at a reasonable quality is everyone believes they can start a podcast, be an interviewer, blah, blah, blah. And you get into it. I remember I learned it in the first 30 episodes. You've got to, if you're going to do like a very one-on-one serious type interview or something like that, you've got to pay the respect of doing the research. Otherwise, it becomes very obvious.
That's why Joe Rogan is so good.
Because he knows all about everything.
His guests, and then he just asks the right questions and let them shine. Do you know what I mean? Like, so many interviewers don't do that.
I can tell his process is this, is they book someone. He's like, right, this is the person I've got. What's on this topic on YouTube? What is on, like, has this person published stuff? Have they put out a book? And he'll just go consume it.
100%. And like,
then he'll come back to it. So then he's got the background info. Even like in preambles to questions, like people can save the pain. And this will come to, I always ask guests this question of like, what do they hate they get asked in interviews? But you can save a lot of pain by just preambling something of like, hey, Frenchie, you used to work as a teacher, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
and what was, you know, like, give the info at the start so you don't have to fucking do the explanation. So
they're not doing the exact same explanation every
over
time.
Over and over. So what do you wish you could talk about actually when you do these interviews?
On podcast interviews.
Yeah. Like, what have you never been asked that you reckon you could do a TED talk about?
My favorite thing is just sort of following threads. And so that's what is just like going where the conversation takes us. Do you know what I mean? Like interviews, I often think they're just like, it's the same stuff. Like I like telling the same stories over and over. They're good stories. But like if I could do a TED talk, fuck, bro. I'm literally just been playing Clash Royale lately, so I'm pretty good at that. I don't know if you play that on your phone.
No, I haven't.
I'll fucking...
Talk us through Clash Royale.
Nah, it's boring shit. You don't want to hear about that.
We've got a lot of gamers that listen.
I used to be heaps in cricket cards. There was like this cricket card game where they had statistics of every player. And you'd get half the deck to each. And then you had to like ask a question based on what you had in your hand to see who would have the higher one. And I memorized all their stats and I'd always win it. I fucking smoked the cards.
Yeah, you are big on sport, aren't you?
Yeah, I love sport, bro. Yeah, actually, we could do sports. Heaps in the NFL at the moment, right? Like randomly.
Yeah.
American.
What is it about? How would you rank your sports at the moment?
Well, cricket and soccer is always number one because that's what I played growing up.
Okay.
But then I like watching NFL, basketball. Sort of, I like American sports because they got more hype. They like got more personalities and they just market it better. You know what I mean? Like it feels like this is the big time. Whereas Aussie sports are so like, you see Aussie sports star at the pub and you're like, ah, oh, sick. Oh, there he is. You see like American sports star at the pub, you're like, holy fucking shit.
So how do they market different? Like what is it that makes
it? Everything's big in America, man. They're getting paid more. It's more, you know. More crowds or bigger.
Yeah, like I was thinking about it because I remember the AFL has tried to integrate certain things about it. Like in the NBA as an example, because the NBA is probably the most, you'd agree that that's the most popular sport in the US, right?
NFL is.
Do you think though?
Yeah.
I feel like NBA is
based on like I'd say like audience numbers and fans and stuff. NBA is huge too. Don't get me wrong. They're both huge.
Plus, I feel NBA is bigger internationally.
Yeah, definitely, definitely, definitely. No one likes it's America.
Like as an example, because we've got a client who like needs a lot of content around sport, and we did this research recently on like influences around NBA versus NFL, or just in generally any American sports, and it was like quite clear in terms of coverage of media, the NBA is 5 times bigger than the NFL in terms of new media.
Mm.
So like The Ringer, Barstool Sports, all those sort of brands, like.
Rastel's an interesting case study, man. Their brand's really cool.
He's a fascinating guy.
He is.
El Presidente.
He's funny how good he is at sort of turning the narrative. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, he's brilliant. He's a brilliant media operator.
Yeah, he's so
good.
But
he also spent 10 years. If you go back, there's a doco about him and his career made by Barstool people. Mm. And it's really interesting to see. Like he went through so many different stages of his life running Barstool. Like he had a really overweight stage. He had a stage where he went through a divorce, where the business was basically going bankrupt, and it got to the point where it is now. Like the thing that made him was when Penn Gaming bought him out.
But that was that was recently, wasn't it?
Recently, yeah. And he's turned. He's like he's had. You can see it. He's fitter now. He's like a good-looking dude now.
Yeah.
He's got some babe as a partner.
Yeah, but he's turned into a little bit of a simp.
Has he?
He's simping, bro. He's simping hard. Everyone's rolling him in the comments. He's doing like TikTok dances and stuff.
Yeah. What is he? Davey Day Trader was like one of his characters as well, which is quite hilarious.
But that's where the money is, man. Gambling, man. It's crazy because we went out last night and it wasn't like late. We went out 12 midnight, 12, 10, trying to get a beer, walking along South Bank. Everywhere shut except the casino.
Yeah, that's...
that's illegal, bro. Like, that's dodgy.
Well,
like you can't give him an hour later license. Do you know what I mean? Bars don't want to shut at 12.
No, I agree. Okay, the thing in Victoria though is that you can open late because now we didn't do what Sydney do, where you have the lockout laws. You have this thing where if you're open late, you've got to serve food, and so that was the way that they stopped people getting king hit. Is you got to serve food. The problem
it's hard to smack a cunt when you got a meat pie in your hand.
Yeah,
like, I don't want to drop it.
You can really dry.
I've got another hand though.
You can dry yourself out with a bowl of chips. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the thing right now that is the issue is because everyone at those small small pubs, bars, etc., like they're massively understaffed because of COVID.
Yeah. So maybe that's why they shut early, man.
We were out for dinner last night at like down on the peninsula, one of our favorite places, Greek restaurant. And we just had to do everything on like one of those new, you know, where you like order on the menu on an app.
On your phone, yeah.
On your phone, yeah. And like they didn't even tell us that the kitchen was closing at 8:45 because we were just like progressively just ordering shit.
Yep.
And it was all kids serving us as well. They might have been maximum 16.
And minimum 4? You're giving us the max.
No. Do you know what I mean? They were all young staff. They're all really, really young because, like, clearly staff is a struggle right
now. Yeah.
So I feel like that's it. And then when you have something like Crown, they can just afford to hire people because they make, like, what would be the margin on gaming, right? Like, if someone spends $1, how much of that do you get? 90% of it, surely.
Bro, crazy, man. Let's say there was 10,000 people in Crown last night. 3 people would have lost their houses. Yep, so they've got 3 new properties, Crown do.
Mm.
I don't know if that's what you gamble with the deed, but in the movies it is. So
I don't know if it gets that bad. I think they'd kick him out before.
Gets that bad. No, they don't. Oh, you've lost too much money. You better get out of here.
You reckon?
Take as much money as they can get, bro. There is no morality in the gambling industry.
If you speak to any Uber driver, they will all have a story of like a Chinese guy who's been, because there's like a real Confucian thing of like, have you not heard this?
I don't know, but it's just funny. I've never talked to an Uber driver about a Chinese guy.
No.
Some random fucking conversations, bro.
I always ask them like, what's the weirdest thing you've seen? Blah, blah, blah. And there's this repeat story that keeps coming back of them picking up a Chinese bloke at Crown. They'll take him to like fucking Doncaster Temple. So like an hour, maybe an hour max out of the city to go inside to pick up a bag of cash to come back to the car and go straight back to Crown. And there's a thing that I learned in Chinese Confucian culture that if you're ultra wealthy, there's something about losing some money just habitually that is meant to be good for you spiritually. Does that make sense? Like as it teaches you to be humble. So like in Hong Kong, the mainland, etc., they'll catch a ferry, they'll fly, whatever, they'll go down to Macau, blow $1 million and just go back home to Shanghai.
That was started by some sort of casino company.
Has to be.
Oh, it's cultural. It's the religion. Yeah, you are humble now.
Yeah, it's good for you. Like,
that's crazy.
Seriously, ask a Chinese expat and they'll tell you about this meme in Confucian culture.
But like, even like in Wollongong, we'll be at the pub playing the pokies. You get a good feature, like, all right, let's have $500. From nowhere, an Asian man will appear.
Yeah.
Like, from the smoke and be like, I'll buy this off you. I'll buy this off you. And you're like, no, what do you mean? It's $500. Like, I want to gamble it. You're like, so and he'll give you $500 cash for the feature, and then he'll look at it because you can gamble it to be like black, red, hearts, diamonds, whatever. And he'll go, black, red, black, and he'll hit it. Like, I've never seen him miss a gamble. And so that, because like, there's a better odds to win money is if you gamble the feature of a pokies than if you play them.
When you say the feature, what do you mean by that?
You never played pokies?
Like, I've hit and played it, like, but I don't know what you mean. Like,
so when
is it
you
the
get
thing?
Three free things, you go bam, bam, bam. You get 15 free games. That's the feature. New South Wales, we're like chronic gamblers. We have like, in New South Wales alone, there's like 85% of the world's pokey machines. It's insane, bro.
You kidding?
No, look it up. It's actually insane. Maybe it's Australia, but I think it's New South Wales.
I feel like it's Australia, but it would make sense if it was New South Wales because New South Wales has a real like publican culture. So you've got like the owner who owns the pub, it's an RSL typically, right?
Yeah.
Or like just a local pub.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You got a bar, pokey room, and some rooms upstairs for people to stay at. That's the classic model in New South Wales. In Victoria, it's just like pokey room, bar. That's it.
Yeah.
And they're often owned by like a hospitality.
And often you don't have pokey rooms in every bar. You don't have pokies in every bar.
Yeah.
We do.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're called VIP rooms. And I feel very important when I play them. I do.
What about like...
It works.
Okay, that was something I noticed when we had our annual Christmas party, right?
Ooh.
And grab it. Don't leave it. Don't. You never know. Your phone. Housemate might text you.
It's just a phone. That was good.
So I noticed when we were at, what was the venue we were at? Like not electric lady lounge.
Lighthouse. That sounds like a strip club, bro.
No, we did
not go to a strip club together. Is this a stitch up? Electric lady lounge. Sounds like there's robot strippers.
No.
What do you mean?
That's a bar here on Chapel Street.
Okay. That's not a Sydney bar, that is.
No, we went to
Light Brigade.
So do you remember we're in the bar area? Right next to that.
And you were trying to get COVID. You were licking the tables.
Going up to you guys and just licking your face. I was just like, I need to get it now. Yeah. I don't want to go to Christmas.
Yeah, fair.
And I noticed like how big your TAB sort of pokey area was in a venue that is like, when you look at the way that it markets itself, it's like bougie and very Paddington and stuff.
Mm.
That was a bit of a surprise.
Let alone the ones out west, bro.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, literally like the more pokies or tab area you have, the more money the pub makes. So it's like, what are they going to do? What sort of percentage are they going to have for just drinking, let alone drinking and gambling?
Yeah.
Bro, crazy. It's crazy.
Speaking of pubs and gambling, let's jump back to Wollongong.
Let's go. There's this one that used to do it in Wollongong, Collies.
Okay,
it's a leagues club. $3 lunches.
Jesus.
They used to do a $3 roast lunch.
So that's the
with gravy, veggies, whatever the roast was, roast pork, roast lamb, whatever. $3 full plate. Because to get there, you got to walk past all the pokies.
Uh-huh.
It was so sick. We did it every time. And it cost me a bit more than $3, but you're saving money still.
I would have no qualms going in just eating a $3 meal and fucking off and being like...
Oh, smart dude. Smart dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hated the pokies.
You're like Gary Vee. Gary Vee would do that. Just eat a $3 lunch. NFTs, what the fuck he's talking about now?
You got to work 27 hours a day. $3. Have you seen the entrepreneur Facebook meme page? You would love it.
Would I? I don't know why I did it like that.
You know the one, Lauren. What's it called?
It's a parody.
Oh,
sick. Yeah, I will like that.
Intrapreneur. Like
intrapreneur. Cobra Kai never die.
Gary V is a regular. So there was one recently and he's like, oh, I was walking downtown when I heard, freeze, hands up. I put my hands up and turned around to face a police officer. What are you doing out here? He asked. He said, officer, I'm living. I'm starting my business. I'm experiencing this beautiful earth. I'm buying NFTs. And the NFTs, of course, is highlighted in red. I'm a baby in this womb of prosperity. What are you doing out here? He started to cry. I held him. We started a business. That is the guy. And I will share this. Yeah, I will share this and people think it's real.
That's funny. People it does think sound it's real. Real.
And I should have. This is the type of meme page I should have.
There's a great Twitter page I follow. It's called Didn't Happen Awards. Do you follow them? And so they will reshare fake stories that obviously didn't happen. You know, like American woman will be like, my kid came up to me and said, Trump isn't a nice man. He has terrible policies for immigrants. She's 5, by the way. And they'll share that and be like, we got an early nominee for Didn't Happen Awards of the Year. Do you know what I mean? Like there's so many good ones like that.
It sounds like Babylon Bee. Babylon Bee?
Mm.
It's sort of like the shovel or Batuta for America.
Oh,
it's quite funny. There's another good one here. 6 things to do before 25 with a photo of Drake. I don't know if anyone can see this. 1.
Put hot sauce in your condom.
1. 10 million invested at a bare minimum. 2. Ghostwrite at least 2,000 ebooks. 3. Finalize a deal to acquire Google. 4. Mum stops doing your laundry. 5. Write national anthem for the metaverse. 6. Rewrite God's plan.
That's so good. Rewrite God's plan.
What if I told you the way to take your brand to the next level in 2022 is with TikTok ads? A lot of our clients come to us with a problem. They need to take their brand to the next level. They're typically doing 5 to 10K a month and they need to jump to that 25, 50K per month level. And Instagram and Facebook just isn't what it was. So what's the commonality amongst all this? It is primarily opportunity in a saturated market. And we think that TikTok ads today is the answer. Now, Narelle follows a 2-phase process to guide you as a challenger brand on the way to growth. Phase 1 is all about knowing your brand and niche back to front with a focus on breaking even or getting above a break even. Phase 2 is scaling that creative to blow up your sales in the process once we've secured you as the leader in that niche on TikTok. You do this with the right partner, a committed partner like Narelle, and you'll build that confidence in an area that has typically been saturated in the past. Is not a silver bullet, and we'd love to chat to you. So book in a consultation with our specialist team. Just go to narelle.com/TikTok. That's NERALLE.com/TikTok, and we'll chat to you from there. Okay, the point on Wollongong I was going to ask.
Yes, bro.
When did you realize you were funny?
Ah, bro, I guess when I, probably not even until I started doing stand-up.
Really?
Yeah, bro. Like, I think it's weird growing up in Australia because, like, all your mates are funny. Everyone's funny. Hmm. Everyone's funny in Australia. Do you know what I mean?
That's true.
Like, literally, like, I'll be hanging out with my mates. I got 5 good mates from high school still. All funny to me. Like, in that situation when they know, like, how to roast someone and
in a group
they can't do it
friendly.
On stage. No, yeah. Fuck, they would fucking die on stage. But group setting, everyone's funny. You know what I mean? And in class, I wanted to be the funny one, but there was a dude who was like a little bit more alpha than me, would yell out just a little bit quicker. I'd be like, oh, I was going to say that.
Yeah, he say got penis my last. Quicker.
He got my, yo, that penis game is so good. We used to play that all the time. We did this once in, we had a sub for health. So we're learning about like, it was proper reproduction system health. Like we're getting the good stuff. You know, in boys class, we get a female sub who couldn't control us. So we did the, we started chanting penis. It's funny. We're going, penis, penis, penis. We're standing up. We're going, penis, penis. Just laughing. It was so funny. She's like, got no idea what to do. She leaves the room to go get like a head teacher to yell at us. We sit back down. And then my Chinese mate, Kim Chen, like real quietly says to me, because he goes, hey, man, what's a penis? I'm like, Kim, you know what a penis is. He's like, is there something else? Why are you yelling it so much?
Oh, my God.
Bro, so funny.
Light one out.
Yeah, so it,
That's all right. We can keep going.
Is it still wrecking?
Yeah, it's fun.
So it's like, you don't really know you're funny until you get proper validation from randoms, which is in the form of like either a crowd laughing at you or your video's going well. Like, you think you're funny in a group setting and you get laughs, but it doesn't mean like, I don't know. I guess I was funny around the family, but what does that mean? So, do you know what I mean? What does that mean?
You said before about like, you noticed when you're doing stand up. How long did that take? Because the first sessions when you get up on stage, you either bomb straight away or you've got something.
Well, what was good was I was always writing, even in year 10 and 11, even if I wasn't doing stand-up, I was writing like stuff like either bits that I think might be funny one day or like show stuff. I was like writing a show and stuff. It's a piece of shit, but, you know, in high school you think it's fucking something. But it always helps you. Everything you sort of do in that creative world helps you later on. Like, but, yeah, so first show I did I fucking crushed because it's raw comedy. So raw comedy, everyone, especially in Wollongong, the one you do in Wollongong, everyone brings their family and friends. They're real supportive. No, but actually it wasn't the first show, but that was the first proper show. My first show I did was Class Clowns.
Really?
Which was before raw comedy.
Yeah.
So that's the one high school kids do for Triple J competition.
How far in did you get?
I didn't make the first round because I'm doing dick jokes in a high school competition. So there's like, then like you can do anything you want. You can do like a fun little dance, you know what I mean? You can do like poetry, you can sing, you can do a funny singing song, still cute comedy, but I'm doing like, my mate got a boner on the bus. We called him pedophile. Like his name was Peter. proper jokes for the lads. And nah, they didn't like that. But then yeah, raw comedy was a couple years later. That was a good set.
So how long ago was that?
Fuck, 2009 maybe.
Okay, so it's
about you in
same time as I graduated.
2010.
2022.
Oh shit. Maybe 2010.
What does that mean, guys? Oldest man in comedy.
I don't fucking know. What
we were doing we were doing it via walkie-talkie.
So what
gramophone was going.
You've had 10 plus years doing this now, and it sounds like you were writing from the beginning. You are pretty prolific in how much you put out. So you got yourself and Tom doing the pod.
Yes.
You got skits.
Yes.
Pod show.
Mm.
You would be writing amongst all of that. Break it down for me. What does your typical day look like and how much of that is invested in performing versus creative thinking and writing and stuff like that?
Well, it's kind of sort of – it kind of doesn't work like that because you kind of got to do it in season. So like we're in the middle of a tour.
Okay.
So day before a tour, I just practice. I sort of just go through it. I'll do it, make sure I do it twice. So I'll do 80 minutes in the mirror twice.
In the mirror?
Sometimes I do in the mirror. Wow. Sometimes I do into the wall because sometimes I like to see my like reflection so I can see if I'm hitting the facial expressions I want to hit. Because you got to – if you're doing like a dark joke, you want to like kind of soften it sometimes, you know what I mean? You want to –
wow.
It's kind of easier to focus too. So touring's a bit different. And then like earlier in the week, you want to make sure you got a video to sell some more tickets. We always do the podcast on Monday, so that's podcast day. Usually I like sleep late and just sort of chill out that day.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then it depends, like if there's no tour going, I'll do more skits to try to build the channel back up because you can't do as much tour and you just sort of burn yourself out if you're trying to do everything at the once. So I'm more try focus. Okay, I'm touring now. I'm more focused on stand up, writing that, doing the podcast. I've got a bit of a break. I'll do some skits properly. Do you know what I mean? And then I'll do the other stuff sort of.
So when you film something with like Demetra, how many in a day, how much will you film?
We pump out. She's good. Like we'll do 4 hours. Sometimes she still works. Like that's kind of awkward. She'll be like, she's not working. I don't know. Like she'll be like working and like, okay, we gotta do a skit now. But yeah. We do 4 hours, we kind of get maybe 4 skits done, which is pretty good.
Okay.
But that's like half YouTube skits, half TikToks, which are just a lot quicker.
And how much in the bank do you reckon you get? Like at the moment. Are you low on material when it comes to skits?
Nah.
When you're touring?
Well, you mean like have I got any I can release right now or have I got some written?
Yeah.
I've got like two I'll release next week because before she went over to America, we filmed a bit And I'm actually filming with a new actress on Tuesday, okay. hopefully, at my mate Swaglord's place.
Who's Swaglord?
He's our mate. We call him Swaglord because he's a Swaglord.
Who is this person?
We don't know. He might not wake up in time. He's like nocturnal sometimes, so we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
I'm going to come back on this. I'm sure of it.
So he's our mate we lived with, me and Tom. I live with him. And he'll just like, he's a legend. So he's always up for being just a random role in a video. Like oh, one okay. line in the background or like doesn't matter. Like we're like, we need you to suck a horse dick. He'll be like, okay. okay. But I'm not swallowing. You know what I mean? He's got limits. And I wanted to do a video. I was like Swaglord's.
What does that mean? This would just go over people's heads.
Swaglord's top 10 cameos. Cause like any YouTube channel has like, for it to be successful, you need your mates to help out. Cause you can't like hire extras in for one fucking line, but it will make the video better. So your mates who are just there will be like, oh, okay, I'll come pop my head and be like, anyone want crumpets?
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, so hopefully I'm filming with him on Tuesday.
How did you meet Tom?
Oh, Tom. That's well, like, it's like Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah?
Yeah, our parents were at war. And
what
like,
do you mean?
We're in love. I don't know. I haven't seen the movie, to be honest. I haven't read the play. I ripped off one of his videos, long story short. But it wasn't really. It was a formula everyone was doing. It was like shit nobody says formula. He does shit nobody says in Canberra. Pops up on my YouTube one time. And I've only been to Canberra once. I'm like, this is really funny. I get all the jokes. I'm like, no one's done one on Wollongong yet. I'm going to do one on Wollongong. That's actually the best way to start is you smack your local area and then you grow out.
Yeah, 100%. Lewis is talking about that.
So everyone does, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I did shit no one says in Wollongong. I don't know if he saw it or not.
You seen it?
Completely unrelated to his. And then we both moved to Sydney randomly. I'm doing more stuff. I start filming with Neil because I met him at a stand-up gig. And then my mate from Canberra, Simo, I was living with, is like, oh, I think he told me you were up here.
I was at a house party and he says, oh, I know the Frenchy guy. And then he texted you.
That's the one. He was at a house party. My mate Sim I was living with, because he was at like a Canberra house party with Tom, was like, yo, Roundabout Crew's in the building.
Roundabout Crew.
I'm like, no fucking way. It's the Canberra boys. Yeah. And then we met. It was kind of like a date. It was like in the afternoon at the shittest pub in near where we live, the Courthouse Hotel.
Okay.
And we got a beer outside and we just hit it off. Yeah. We bought a beer each. Second beer, we just got a jug, put two straws in it and sit from it.
Like Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah, man.
That's so funny.
No, that's what it's like. That's why I started my YouTube channel. I always actually wanted to do my comedy with someone else. I thought that'd be more fun. And I also thought it'd be better for the comedy to have another brain to bounce off. Although it is good being able to get your own vision out, if you find someone who's like on the same level as you comedically, it makes it better. And that's what Tom is like. He's a different sort of style to me, but also we generally find the same shit funny.
Yeah.
And we can make each other laugh. Yeah, yeah, dumb humor.
Yeah. Michael if Jackson anyone jokes, listens to the podcast, they'll get that. It's so good.
Dumb humor. Dumb humor. I was on a scholarship, you found out. So in year three, I got 100% on an English test. So suck my English. And then, yo, that's how quickly I fell off. The same Chinese friend, Kim Chen, English not even his first language. He beat me in year 11 English. It's not even his first language. He's asking me what a penis is. Next minute, he's beating me in all the English tests.
Mate, that's,
I was so upset.
That's his parents making him study for 4 hours a night.
Yeah, but I smoked him at the public speaking part of it. You know, when you got to do the speaking, I fucking smoked those ones.
What have you learned from Tom when it comes to comedy?
From Tom?
Yeah.
How long do we have?
We've got all the time until you need to fly, basically.
Well, I always say this. Tom is really good at concepts for skits. So I'm like kind of, I don't want to say hack, but pretty hack at the skits. It's like, oh, that's just a low-grade concept. That'll fucking work. People laugh. Tom's like really smart. Like he did this one. Breaking out of your barista always was a really cool concept. You know, when you start going to a different coffee shop and you walk past the coffee shop you've been going to, that sort of stuff. Like that sort of stuff.
Yeah, we've had a bit of that recently.
Have you?
Yeah.
It's not permanent. It's like just want to try something different. And then you have to be like, actually.
Because you get sick of the same thing every day, don't you? Yeah.
And also sometimes as well, I don't know about you, but it's sort of like in some relationships with some people, they get very complacent. I feel the barista that we were going to regularly, like, don't even say hello anymore when we come in. It's just
they don't appreciate you anymore. Yeah. That's what it is. And it is like a relationship. It's like the longer you're with him, you're like, this same taste for the rest of my fucking life.
Yeah.
You're getting uglier too. You're like looking at him going, you're getting fucking ugly and more unfriendly. You used to come and be like, what's up? Give me shackers.
So back on Tom, you're saying that he's a better writer than you.
Oh, I think his concepts are definitely
not
better.
Really.
I think his concepts are definitely better.
Yeah.
I think, to be honest, like, I think he's got a lot of really, like, we got a mate, Danny from Raka Raka. Sorry, Danny from Raka Raka. Danny rings him up to get like jokes for like roast battles, ideas for skits and pitches for shows and stuff like that. Never rings me up for that. Just rings me up to chat. But not for rings him up for writing. I'm like, Danny, I can do writing too.
Are you saying that Tom's the brains?
I think we established that I got a scholarship and Tom never got a fucking scholarship.
Are you living off this scholarship? Or
It was a half scholarship and it was because my brother went there. But like, it doesn't. Who's the brains? Who's the brawn? Does that mean I'm the brawn? I'll fucking take that.
Potentially.
I will take that.
I don't know. With your look, if you look at your bowling skills, I'd say so. You know, you nearly bowled out Shane Watson.
Oh, bro, I would have if my groin wasn't bad. I was injured, man. Imagine what I'll do. I'm telling you. I need to turn that into a series, actually, playing against cricketers. I think that'd be good.
That would be a fucking brilliant. No, not playing against cricketers, but playing against ex-cricketers.
I want to play against.
Because then they have no filter. They don't have to fall under the Cricket Australia banner.
I actually think that could be a cool series. We should try to get someone to sponsor it. Just playing against ex-sports stars, to be honest, because like I'm like a jack of all trades and I can play every sport kind of enough. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every sport enough.
But you can make it funny enough. Like
100%.
Shane Watson was cackling and in between his ball.
He definitely had a great time. Exactly, man. So that's why I think it could be a fun series. I need to try to challenge some more ex sort of sports people because they've also got more time on their hands.
Yeah.
Current ones. Actually, I could do a current one. I've got an NBL dude who's keen from Wollongong.
What you need to do is you need to go through people following you and see who's like a blue tick sports person.
Oh, go for the blue ticks.
Yeah. Do that. I reckon there's got to be – like, surely Shane Watson follows you now. Surely.
I would hope so. I'll be insulted if he doesn't.
We'll send him a stern email after
this. He was just too nice, that bloke. He was too nice.
That was our shit era of cricket, wasn't it? That was the – it was our captain then.
Wasn't shit, Michael Clarke.
Michael Clarke. That was our not as good as the Ponting era.
What are your favourite sports?
I would say AFL, soccer. I can appreciate cricket, but more like highlights. I cannot watch a test match for the life of me. I hate 2020 as well. So it's not like I could sit there and watch 2020. Love the highlights of test cricket.
So you hate test matches. I hate 2020s. Which part of cricket do you like, the 50 overs?
I like the highlights.
Yeah. You don't like cricket. You don't like cricket.
No, soccer, AFL is 100%, like 80% of my enjoyment comes from AFL when it comes to sport.
Yeah, no, that's a proper Melbourneian.
Yeah, but I barrack for a team that struggles to get near the top regularly, St Kilda. So where?
So Nick Riewoldt, is that him?
Yeah, Nick Riewoldt.
Go to Saints.
My family are diehard St Kilda supporters. Who were the comedians that you like? Like, if you had to go through the traits and the styles that you liked the most and you made your own little Franken comedian, who would you...
Franken comedian? That's a good question.
If you were like a Dr. Jekyll type person and you had to hack someone together, who...
Carl Barron's got insane delivery. Like, he's can make anything funny. Like, he's like... Jokes are good, but like the way he says it is insane. And he looks fucking funny.
He's a funny looking dude.
And he looks funny. So Carl Barron would almost be the whole comedian. I think he'd be the whole comedian.
No one else. Nothing else.
Nah. Well, maybe we'll get some Dave Chappelle in there so then he could get away with some more jokes, some more race sort of jokes.
Okay.
Dave Chappelle's got some great stuff on race relations. Incredible.
So like a black Carl Barron.
Well, yeah, and then also, yeah, yeah, and so the way Dave Chappelle can make it like deep and shit is really cool too. So you get Carl Barron's like laconic stuff and then Dave Chappelle's style hits ya.
Okay.
I think Carrot Top for his props. And then with the red hair on top of that, black Carl Barron with red hair. That'd be incredible. You're already laughing.
Carrot Top has gone like full jokes now.
I miss the Carrot Top era. I just only ever knew him as a meme. I don't ever think I've seen him tell a joke. I just know he's a meme.
Yeah, like, I've never seen him tell a joke, actually.
I think he was a comedian. But I saw a
photo recently of like a before and after. He doesn't need to at all. He's got weird hair. Really weird.
His name's Carrot Top. You're thinking he's going to have normal hair?
People,
I thought that's why he was called Carrot Top.
Like as an example. You know, just because
he got red hair.
If you've got red hair, it's Carrot Top, right?
Oh, okay,
but he's got really curly hair, right? From memory?
I don't know. I don't think I've seen him before.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, that's
even from
a lot.
Here, we're looking at this a meter away. It's a weird, weird looking motherfucker.
Yeah, no, that is.
All right, let's jump into some rapid fire questions to finish things off.
Let's fucking go.
What's your morning and evening typically look like?
That's what's sad, man. As you get old, you get your mornings and evenings get more and more boring. But I fucking love my mornings now. So I wake up by
what
the
time?
My dog waking me up, six. Fenton, the corgi.
Yeah.
Nah, he sleeps in now, so he's chill. It'll be about 7:30 a.m. He'll jump up on my side of the bed and paw me, and he knows that means I'll put him on the bed, and he gets a little extra sleep because I'm not ready to walk him yet. Then my missus will wake up, feed him.
Your missus or your housemate?
Housemate, sorry. My housemate sometimes.
Sorry, I'm so...
It's a fluid situation. It is a fluid situation.
I'm so sorry.
Feed him, and then he'll come back, and he'll literally just sit a meter away from me and look at me until it's time for a walk, and I'll be lying there. I'm like, I want to sleep for another hour, bro. He's like, well, I'm just going to sit here and watch you until you're ready to walk. So good luck sleeping with all that guilt in your fucking brain while I'm just like here not walking. And so I always end up getting up and walk my dog for a bit. Okay. Every day I walk him in the morning. Nights, just normal stuff. Put on Cobra Kai, do karate, whack off. So normal sort of night.
Just have a bat.
Whack off to Cobra Kai. Cobra Kai never dies. Strike hard, no mercy. Let's fucking go.
What season are you up to?
The new one's out, so I'm about episode 2 or 3 into that.
Okay. Because I watched the first season. It is a bit naff.
So me and Tom have talked about it, and like if you don't get it, you don't get it. And I don't...
No, I get it.
I don't mean get it. If you don't like it, you don't like it. I completely understand. Some random dude at the fucking cafe today was behind us. He goes, Cobra Kai, mate, you watch it? I'm like, yeah, man. He's like, you seen the latest season? It's so fucking good. I'm like, yeah, it's great, man. He's like, great show, eh? I'm like, yeah, it's so shit, it's good. He's like, that's exactly what it is. It's good shit. It's shit, but it's good. And I'm just having this random conversation about it. Like, it's so shit. It is. They can't act. The plot is so random, like, but they're like doing karate to solve all their fucking problems.
It's
so good.
When you watch The Karate Kid, in hindsight, watching The Karate Kid is so the 90s era that we grew up with of like peak karate. Like, as an example, we started watching Matrix Reloaded, the third one last night because we were going to go see the next one. I wanted to get up to speed. And I just look at it now, having gone through the era of the UFC, and I go, this is the dumbest shit ever because they're just like, and I did, by the way, I did karate and got up to like a brown belt. So just before a black belt. And in hindsight, UFC and boxing and all that, you just look at it like, anyone with any fighting skills would just come in and cave your head in with an elbow.
Yeah, 100%.
It's so choreographed and dumb.
100%.
Yeah.
It's
not real.
Legitimate fighting.
Okay, so...
Oh, if you don't throw a roundhouse at me, don't do a super kick, I'll be ready.
If you do this kick, I don't have a move to block it. Like, it's not perfect. So dumb. Okay, evening routine, what do you do?
No, literally watch Cobra Kai and whack it.
That's it.
Yeah.
All right. podcast, doco.
That's it. What do you do?
I know. I work for you cunts.
I watch Yellowstone too, actually. That's a good great. Fucking show.
Half the time realistic, the other half completely unrealistic.
Yeah.
Like the scene of like...
But are you a cowboy on a ranch in Montana? No, so you don't fucking know if it's unrealistic, no, do you? So,
but I love...
Stay in your lane, AFL boy.
AFL boy. Watching that, more and more, I'm fascinated with like Midwest America.
100%. I'm only two seasons in, so don't no spoilers. But yeah, it looks fucking sick.
There's three seasons, right?
Four. It's four out.
Just trying to think. Because I will wait for a few episodes to... Because they do the usual shit where it's like once a week. And I fucking hate that.
Oh, that's done. We should cancel people who do once a week episodes now.
HBO does that.
That's who really deserves canceling, not Harvey Weinstein. People who do once a week episodes. Well, probably both. We can do both.
Okay, so Yellowstone's your pick. Podcast, doco, or movie?
Podcast, doco, or movie.
What have you been listening to lately?
Doco, World War II in color. Oh, great. Love that. Love that doco.
Are you like a...
Wars are so cool. Like, I know they're not cool because people die, but they're kind of cool too.
War history is fascinating.
Yeah, fascinating. That's the word I'm looking for, not cool. Let's do it again.
That's so fun. 8 million Jews dead. Whoa.
No, fascinating war history. Yeah, World War One, World War Two. I haven't gone much into Vietnam yet because it's too recent. I feel like the further away it is, there's like a balance.
World War II history is probably the most fascinating in the last 100 years. My dad's obsessed with it.
It is incredible. That
you should listen then to Hardcore History.
I did.
Japan, the Pacific.
I heard the, is that the whole World War II
Supernova
one?
Supernova in the East.
Yeah.
How that came about.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. All right, last question for you. If you could have a billboard anywhere in Sydney, where would it be and what would you put on it? And it can't be self-promotional.
It's not self-promotional.
Yeah.
Oh, be Bondi then. I definitely want to roast those Bondi wankers.
Bondi Junction or down on the beach?
On the beach.
Okay.
On the beach.
And what would you put on it?
I think I'll just write skin cancer.
Or maybe even...
And then they'll have no idea who... I guess they'll think the government funded it, but they'll be tanning on the beach and they'll look up and see the word skin cancer and they just couldn't enjoy their tans anymore.
Yeah.
Damn those hot tan fucking Bondi people. Yeah.
There's one thing about Sydney and people are on average way more attractive, fitter. Just more tan.
They're more tanned. We find Melbourne people more fashionable though. Like they're still just as attractive. They're sort of like classy, sort of cultured, attractive. Whereas Sydney are like sort of like beach hot.
We rely too much on our culture though. Because of that, I find that people in Melbourne are on average less healthy as people. Because you've got the beach culture. People, I think, on average are fitter in New South Wales.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, because like you're more inclined.
And we've got better weather.
Better weather. Yeah. That's the thing. So more vitamin D, you're more positive.
Yeah, and less lockdowns. We can go and exercise. Less lockdowns. Just.
Frenchie, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. It was lovely fun.
Where can people find you on the internet?
Just type in lemonparty.com and I will be there. Type it in, I'll be there.
Jacob's going to have fun with this. We'll make sure we put in links and everything, but if you don't know Frenchie, then who the fuck are you? Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for checking out this episode. If you liked it, do subscribe and, of course, like it on YouTube if you're watching as well. We'd really appreciate that. For audio, if you've not already listening on your podcast app, you can search for it on any good app, including Spotify, Pocket Casts, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, etc. For video, if you're not watching, you can search Uncommon Podcast on YouTube. It's the first one that appears every single time. For behind the scenes, do follow us on Instagram and TikTok. It's @uncommon_show. But until next time, thanks for tuning in.